chapter of Krishna book or Bhagavatam, then we're going to have Aarti and Kirtan. You will lead the Kirtan. Meena, you're doing the Aarti. Please repeat. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So this is chapter 70, Lord Krishna's daily activities. Because in the previous chapter, Narada visited the different palaces. And one thing that I didn't mention then was that when Narada visited the different palaces, Krishna was doing something different in each palace. The yogis can sometimes expand to 8 or 9 expansions, like Kardama Muni was able to expand himself into 9. But those 9 can only do the same thing at the same time. Like sometimes you go into Best Buy or you go where they sell the TVs. And a lot of times they have 20 TVs, but they're all showing the same channel. So the yogis' expansions are like that. But Krishna's expansions were different. Narada knows that trick. He can also do that. But not what Krishna did. 16,108 Krishnas and each one doing something different. That's God. So Narada was quite impressed when he saw Krishna in all these palaces. Okay, so here's Krishna. This is a day in the life of Krishna in Dvaraka. There's another book which is called Govinda Lilamrita, which is a day in the life of Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan, Sunday. Very nectarian narration by the same author of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishnadas Kaviraj. So here is a glimpse of Krishna's daily activities in Dvaraka. If you're ready to proceed, say, Gauranga. This chapter describes how Lord Sri Krishna's daily activities and 2 proposals placed before him, one by a messenger from Dvaraka and another by the sage Narada. In the early hours of the morning, Lord Krishna would rise from bed and bathe himself in clear water. And in Krishna book, Prabhupada says, what was Krishna's alarm clock? That was his alarm clock, 3:30? What was his alarm clock? The rooster. Got to listen to the question. He would rise when the rooster would crow. That was at least 1.5 hours before sunrise. And it's described nicely by Prabhupada in Krishna book, how Krishna was sleeping. The queens were, we could say, coddling Krishna, their arms around him. And those queens hated that rooster, because it would mean Krishna immediately would get up. Krishna was not attached. He was with the goddesses of fortune. Rukmini was described as the original goddess of fortune herself. She was the chief of all the queens. So even though Krishna is lying in bed, surrounded by the, being embraced by the goddess of fortune, immediately he would get up. Therefore, he's renounced. He played like a henpecked husband. He played, because that's the secret of success, husbands. Take it from me. He played like a henpecked husband, because every wife wants their husband to be henpecked. That's their nectar of life. My husband I have wrapped around my finger. So men, you have to play, but don't be. Don't be. But you have to be an actor. That's another class. Okay. So Krishna would immediately get up and begin meditation. And Prabhupada, I love this section in Krishna book. Prabhupada said that Krishna would get up and immediately begin meditating on himself. Why? Because meditation means meditation on what? The absolute truth. What are the three features of the absolute truth, Garmakar boys? We discussed this last night. Brahman, Paramatma, good. So which one is Krishna? Really? He's not Brahman? Oh, he's all three. So what choice does Krishna have? If meditation means meditate on the absolute truth, Krishna has no choice but to meditate on himself. But Prabhupada mentions in Krishna book, don't imitate. We should not meditate on our, I'm doing what Krishna does, Prabhu. Krishna meditated on, I'm also going to meditate. Oh yeah, can you lift Govardhan Hill? Yeah, then don't meditate on yourself. We learned in the previous chapter, we should meditate on what? Super soul, Krishna in the heart. Well, in Krishna book, Prabhupada says we should meditate on Radha Krishna. That's why Mangalarti, right? First thing you see, beautiful Radha and Krishna, especially like in New Dwarka. So many people have told me they love New Dwarka Mangalarti. So sweet. Other temples too. When I was in Vancouver, I was going to Mangalarti. They have deities Radha, Madan, Mohan. So our meditation, we follow in Krishna's footsteps. We meditate on Radha Krishna. That makes the day auspicious. Some of you have deities at home, right? All right, let's continue. After executing the dawn rituals and other religious duties, he would offer oblations into the sacred fire, chant the Gayatri Mantra, worship and pay tribute to the demigods, sages and forefathers, and offer respects to learned brahmanas. Then he would touch auspicious substances, decorate himself with celestial ornaments, gratify his subjects by giving them whatever they desired. So who would like to be one of Krishna's subjects in Dwarka? Krishna would every day give you whatever you desired. Pretty good, huh? The Lord's chariot driver, what's his name? Raise your hand if you know the answer. No, the Lord's chariot driver. Yes? Daruka, very good, would bring his chariot. So Krishna has a chauffeur, right? You see rich people, they have a driver. Your car is ready, sir. So Krishna, he has a chauffeur. His name is Daruka. Would bring his chariot and the Lord would mount it and drive to the royal assembly hall. When he would take his seat in the assembly, surrounded by the Yadavas, he would appear like, now what celestial body is Krishna going to be compared to? He appeared like what celestial body? Celestial body, a planet. No, not this one. Moon. The moon surrounded by stars, nakshatras, yes. That's usually the analogy, right? The moon, isn't that a beautiful sight? Moon surrounded by, that's why we say Krishna. What name for Krishna moon-like? Krishna. Ah, Krishna Chandra. What happened to Sri Devi? Where did she go? Oh, why are you in the back? Okay. So, Krishna surrounded, was appeared like the moon, surrounded by the circle of stars called nakshatras. Hey, somebody read the chapter. Bards would recite his, bards are like poets, orators. Bards would recite his praises to the accompaniment of drums. Do we have drums? Drums? Come on, sound effects. Cymbals. Those who had cymbals, play your cymbals. And veenas. We don't have any veenas. And other instruments. All right, we have Western veena called guitar. Thank you, Mataji. On one occasion, The doorkeepers escorted a messenger into the assembly hall. The messenger offered prostrated obeisances to the Lord, and then, standing with joined palms, addressed him, "O Lord, Jarasandha has captured 20,000 kings and is holding them prisoner. Please do something for these kings, for they are all your surrendered devotees." How many times was Jarasandha defeated by Krishna? 17 times. I always am amazed by this. If somebody defeats you 17 times, you would think, you know, maybe it's time to surrender. But not Jarasandha. And what happened on the 18th time that led Jarasandha to think that he was victorious? What happened? Yes. Krishna did his Ranchor Leela, Madhav. How many rounds did you chant today? 3 rounds? Boy, just imagine if you did 6, you'd be like pundit. Very nice. You see the result of chanting japa. You get all kinds of transcendental knowledge. Yes, Krishna. Then, what was the real reason why Krishna displayed this Ranachor Leela? Yes. Yes. Yes, but there was an ulterior motive in Krishna. Krishna had a personal motive. Besides Muchukunda killing Kaliyavana, yes. But Krishna had a personal motive why he didn't want to bother with Jarasandha this time. You don't remember? Who knows? Yes, he knew. I'm going to get a text message from Rukmini any second now. Krishna had better things to do. He already defeated him 17 times. But he knew that Rukmini was about to contact him, his first queen. And Krishna wanted to be there for that. Just at that moment, Narada Muni appeared. Lord Sri Krishna and all the members of the assembly stood up. So let's play the poem. Everybody stand up and let's welcome Narada Muni. Who wants to play Narada Muni? Shoban, play Narada Muni. And say Narayan when you walk in. Jai Narada Muni ki! Jai. Okay. Oh, he played his veena. Very good. Hey, you're good there. All right. We worship Narada Muni. Very good. Everybody can sit down. That's also gives your legs a break there. Very good. Offered obeisances to Narada by bowing their heads. The sage accepted a seat, and then Lord Krishna gently questioned him. Krishna said, "Since you travel all over the universe, please inform us what the Pandava brothers are planning to do." So who are the Pandava brothers? Yes? I want their names. Yudhisthira, slow down. Yudhisthira, Bhim, Arjun, Sahadev, and... Very good, thank you very much. Narada then praised the Supreme Lord and replied, "King Yudhisthira desires to perform the Raja Suya sacrifice. For this, he requests your sanction and presence. Many demigods and illustrious kings will all come just to see you." Understanding that the Yadavas wanted him to defeat Jarasandha, Lord Krishna asked his wise minister, who was Krishna's personal counselor in military or diplomatic affairs? No, not in this case. Who did Krishna send with a message to the gopis? Message. Uddhav. Yeah, Krishna didn't send Akura. Who sent Akura? Kamsa. But Krishna sent Uddhava with a what? What did Krishna give Uddhava? A handwritten letter to read to the gopis. So Uddhava, he's a disciple of who? Yes. Brihaspati. Very good. So he asked his wise minister Uddhava to determine which of the two matters at hand the defeat of Jarasandha or the Rajasuya sacrifice should be attended to first. And what did Uddhava say? Uddhava said, well, first of all, Yudhishthira wants to do Rajasuya. Rajasuya means he's declaring that he's the king. So he can't do that until Jarasandha submits. So first we got to take care of Jarasandha and knock him off. Then Yudhishthira can do Rajasuya sacrifice. See how intelligent Uddhava is. So that's exactly what they did. But who was actually the killer of Jarasandha? Bhima. Yes, Krishna empowered Bhima to do it. Because when Bhima, Arjuna, and Krishna went to visit Jarasandha, how did they disguise themselves? Yes? Yes, they disguised themselves to look like brahmanas. And in the course of their discussion, Jarasandha noticed that this was very funny looking brahmins. Buff arms, different markings which indicated, and these aren't any brahmanas. So at one point, Krishna, they took off their disguises and Krishna says, here is Arjuna, here is your arch enemy Bhima, and here I am, your eternal enemy Krishna. And we have come to beg charity. And Jarasandha, yes, what charity do you want? And Krishna said, we want to fight you. And Jarasandha said to Krishna, well, you ran away from the battle. He conveniently forgot the 17 other times where Krishna defeated his whole army. But all he remembered was the 18th time when Krishna, what was that pastime? Ranachor. So Jarasandha said, you, Krishna, you fled from the battle. And Arjuna, you're younger than me. So the only one here fit to fight me is Bhima. So they fought for how many days? How many days did they fight? 28 days. And on that 28th day, Bhima said to Krishna, I don't know if I can defeat him. So Krishna gave him the clue how to defeat Jarasandha. Because when Jarasandha was born, he was born in two halves. And the witch, what was her name? Joined them together. So Krishna knew, so he gave the clue. The way to kill him is break him in two. So he split Jarasandha in two. Bhima ki! And then they returned, and then Maharaj Yudhishthira did the Rajasuya sacrifice. All right. Are you all fired up for kirtan? All rise and let's worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead by kirtan. Whoever our pujari is, please come and do pujari. And yes, Radha Krishna Das. Wait, you have to loosen the thing. Loosen. On the other side. The other side of. No. Yes, thank you, Mukund. Otherwise, you're going to break it. Come on. There you go. All blessings. May Krishna empower you more. May you all your desires be fulfilled. Nimai Charan, can you do the honors? Make sure everyone, outside, inside. Whenever you're ready, begin chanting. What do you need?